is strong in the ball, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers, 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andrew.
And you know, having had the benefit of a decent education, I believe very much in the classics. And I'm influenced particularly by one of the great thinkers of modern philosophy. And that thinker once said, "To be the man, you have to beat the man." Woo!
And honestly,
I don't think that applies anymore, because I think modern football is such that to be the man in Australian football these days, you only have to play against the man. Like, it's only enough for teams to be competitive against us for, you know, a quarter or two, for them to be anointed as somehow made teams. And I'm a little bit sick of it. I mean, it's a sign of respect, but I am a little bit sick of it.
It does feel, and I can't really top a Ric Flair quote after you set up like you were going to quote John Paul Sartre or something like that, it feels a bit like we're playing a video game and we know that we're eventually going to get to the boss battle, which is going to be the finals, but at the moment we're just sort of grinding our way through the various levels, and like this week was, a challenging level boss.
And we had to tap the controllers a bit harder in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and you know, we might have to pause and get ourselves a water in between before attacking the next level. But we were never truly threatened. But you know, all that arrogance could go out the window very shortly. It's a very long season, and we don't nearly have the wins accumulated to start resting on our laurels.
No, Nate, let's come back to this. But this was a really tough game, and yeah, there's a mix of circumstance of Etihad sort of suits a really contested type of game like this, that, you know, playing against a older and more experienced team in North Melbourne, very mature bodies, good at contested football. Yeah, you know, they kicked, I think, at one stage 11-3. So, yeah, it was a good test. I thought, as you said, we'd deserve to win. But it was a pretty challenging game.
Yeah, it was. This is just such an overdog reaction to, you know, a decent win against a team who admittedly were in the top eight, but actually checked the odds before the game and, they were paying more than $2 to make the top eight. So that, you know, they're okay. And as we discussed before the show, a bit of flat track bullies, but, it's like I said, it's an overdog reaction to go, well, it's good we win one. And they were a respectable test, but we need to play better than that to, you know, win the big one. It's a very smug attitude, but that was my feeling, which was a vaguely dissatisfied feel.
Well, I think that's where we're at. I think we've got a taste for it and we want more.
Yeah, and like this, and admittedly, you know, it just feels like this at the moment. And even the West Coast game will be probably non-conclusive unless there's a dominant result either way. But I think when we, you know, there's the heavyweight previews coming up will be, presuming Geelong stays in good form when we play them at the MCG, sort of Sydney game. You know, the perennial contenders, because I don't think anyone's taking.
Yeah, and we played Geelong twice, and that's going to be a challenge. I think we've got a return game against Adelaide. As you said, the Swans. Look, I think GWS are now ninth, and yeah, their injury list is, you know, they're decimated. at the moment, so I don't think you can call them premiership contenders. So, yeah, there's a few more tough games coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, even this week, for all the hype, we'll probably be non-conclusive. But, yeah, look, we should enjoy it while it lasts. You know, this is a team.
Oh, hell yeah.
We do play I was just rewatching the game then, and, you know, some of the goals we kick, and the way, you know, even in the first quarter, the way we're playing on the break, and, you know, even players like Townsend are sort of doing clever and fun things as we, you know, we roll in waves on our forward thrusts, and, you know, we're just amazingly lucky to have people like Alex Rance, and, yeah, it's just, it's wonderful to, it's a wonderful team to watch, and with our most watchable player, having his lowest possession total since round four last year. So over a year.
Yeah, and I did have the thought watching the game that Etihad, as was the case when we lost down in Geelong, both of which are noticeably more narrow stadiums, and the people, I think, who notice the lack of space the most are the small forwards.
The Dan Butlers.
Yeah, the Dan Butlers. Look, Dan Butler led the team in almost possessions. I thought, like, there was just four or five times where he almost got the ball and would have broken away from a pack, and it just, a crucial fumble or a bounce of the ball, and it just, it just wasn't his night.
Yeah, whereas some of our contested players and the guys like a bit hot and heavy, or, you know, maybe even a tad slow. I don't think he's super slow. You know, Vossi and Caddy were both pigs in mud, and Cochin, obviously. We'll come back to him, but, you know, Caddy absolutely loved that game.
Oh, and Vossi. Vossi had a fantastic game.
He did indeed. 15 intercept marks. That's sort of Alex Rance. Sorry, bonkers. Intercepts, not marks. That's incredible. I don't think I've seen even Alex get that.
No. So the leading player in the AFL normally averages about nine or ten for the season. So yeah, 15's a huge number. And again, if you think about reasons why we won, you know, yes. You know, on balance of how much more football we won, shots at goal, all those things suggest we should have won. Time in forward half. But a big part of that was for periods of the game they couldn't get it past halfway. And Vlossy and an extremely disciplined defence was a big part of that. Why?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Broad, I was just noticing on the tape then how many contests Broad halves or wins, you know.
Well, and I noticed that he, I mean, Alex Rance would do it anyway. Like, he's a huge part of why he's the best key defender in the game is having the courage to break off his man and contest further down the ground if needed. But You can take those types of risks when you know that, well, he's a guy who's 193 centimetres, so maybe you don't want him isolated one out against Tom Hawkins, but he's going to give a pretty respectable contest. Like, everyone is there backing up everyone else. Yeah, it's good.
I'll be really interested. I hope he did get a corky from Ben Brown late in the game. He played through it.
Yeah, he only ran laps today at training, which is a concern.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You might be able to play through it, but you might not pull up. Okay, once it's sort of, you can't cool down and it bleeds. So we'll see. But I'd love to see him play on Jack Darling. I think that'd be a fascinating matchup.
Well, I actually don't think he'd get him.
I think it'd be Rance. Would
No, I think it'd be Grimes, because West Coast Eagles play four 190-centimetre plus forwards every game this year. Broad would be needed to play on Jake Waterman, who's not a big name, you know, father son. But he's been productive in kicking goals, and is a marking target if he gets a mismatch.
So, Nick, let's cycle back to the start and the top of the Cochin versus Cunnington battle. Now, I know on in private chats we've been having, you've had some thoughts on Cunnington's game.
Yeah, look, they were. It was interesting. They both got 9 coaches' votes, so I assume that Brad Scott voted for Cunnington and Dimmer for Cochin. But I really do think Cochin was best on ground, despite the mammoth amount of contested possession that Cunnington won. Because I just, you know, he's still our, as with Dangerfield in the finals, our ability to apply pressure once the other team gets the ball. And yeah, Cunnington had 12 turnovers, and a huge part of our game style when it's effective is generating turnovers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was an old school battle where both players got off the leash. But okay, fine. So then you can just measure them by what their net contribution was, and by the simple stats, you can make a case for Cunnington. But actually, if you look at the advanced stats, Cochin was the best on the champion data stats. So you know.
He said, and he was ahead on match-winning goals as well.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful goal. It was very indicative. You actually can watch the first bounce of the game. There's 2 things I want to say about Cochin's game. First bounce of the game, Dusty sort of runs past the contest to create space. Well, you know, to sort of get in an attacking position. And Jacobs completely ignores the ball and follows Dusty. Had Jacobs sort of been at least half playing the ball, he would have been standing right where this place where the ball finished up and would have got a clearance. But instead, because he followed Dusty, it cleared a path, an empty space, which Cochin got the clearance through. There is literally a cases where the Jacobs tag opened up the space for the other mids, and you'll see almost everyone else other than Dusty had pretty high contested ball numbers. The other thing, if you get a chance and you're watching...
Well, and Shane Edwards as well, actually. They were both... they were sort of... you know, between the two of them, they averaged more than 15 contested possessions a game, and between them, they had only 5, which was disappointing.
Yeah, Shedder was our worst-rated player, according to champion data. I've never seen that before from him. Partly that was got to do with a few turnovers. But yeah, that was... I'll come back to Shedder, but... just wanted to say, in the last quarter, there was a 1907 mark. There's a boundary throwing, and Cochin picks up the tap that falls to his knees so quickly that you don't even notice it on the camera. And he hand passes to Shedder, who kicks a long 60-meter kick out of the back line. But it was just one of those moments of sheer class that the commentators didn't. It was too quick. The commentators didn't even call his name. But you know, that's why Trent Cochin has a Brownlow medal, because he can do stuff like that.
I know, and he's fully weaponized at the moment as sort of a captain and a physical presence. Do you want to talk about Dusty's game?
Well,
I mean, we would be the 106th and 107th media people to talk about it this week.
I mean, what I did, I've talked about it almost for the last 3 weeks in a row, but actually what I did is look at his 2018 stats versus his 2017 stats. But why don't we talk about the game first?
Well, I actually wanted, you know, that we're in the conference finals to the NBA, and one of the interesting philosophical questions in the NBA at the moment is the different styles of offense, and the Utah Jazz, who I follow because they've got a couple of Australians playing for them, they believe in an offense where everyone touches the ball regularly because the coach feels that they try harder on defense when they're touching the ball regularly. And I think Dusty's got a bit of that. I don't think Dylan Grimes could honestly care if he gets a possession for the course of a game, but I think there were issues with Dusty getting frustrated and just losing focus on the game. And
you're saying he doesn't play the good D when he's playing mediocre.
Yeah,
the O's connected to the D.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the other way around. The D is a product of how good he's playing on offense.
Yeah. The way he defines himself as a footballer is through his offensive output.
Yeah. And I think if you're to strap the coaches in the interrogation chair and give them the true serum, that you'd probably find on when they do last year when they're doing the weekly review, maybe once or twice that they let Dusty off. He's probably not the hardest working defensive midfielder, but you know, they probably let him off a few times to save his energy, on the Owen. But yeah, it was, as you're alluding to, it's certainly been pointed out his defensive efforts weren't great. And I think you're right. He was just having one of those days where he's cranky. What the thing is, and one game, it's still early enough in the season, one game does affect the averages, but one thing it is noticeable for the season is the one thing that's he's kept up to high level of score involvements. Mm. And you can sort of see he still does a lot of clever things on the O, for instance.
Well, and some of those clever things were in contrast to his teammates as well. For as difficult a game he had early in the last quarter, when he got the ball in the middle and broke and kicked it for a caddy contested mark, I noticed it because I thought, oh, God, for so much of the third quarter, we'd been just bombing it indiscriminately into our forward line against one of the taller back lines in the AFL. And he had the presence of mind to think through the situation when other people hadn't.
Yep, and you could pick the Butler goal where he set up with that nice little chip pass where a lot of people blazed away, and also the Cochin goal where he gave the little tap to Cochin.
Oh, yeah, lovely bit of work.
So he's still doing a lot of the key things, but if you sort of look at his overall metrics on his contested ball work, his clearance work, and his tackling, it's all down, and it's not it's down by more than a rounding error. But as I said early in the season, but it does feel like he's picking his shots a little bit at the moment. And
yeah, and I think Dimmer's nursing him through the season as well, with the amount of time he's spending forward.
Yeah, but we shall see. I think this week will be a pretty interesting indicator of where he's at. If he's not in our top four players, we can, you know, we could start giving, you know, the current media theory, internet theory is he's a bit injured, but, you know, maybe a bit of a cop out.
I mean, almost the whole team's probably a little bit injured.
Yeah, exactly.
At this stage.
Yeah, and the guy who I really noticed, was limping a lot, early in the fourth quarter was Lambert, and he still got up and he ran out of the game. Mm. Just the way he was limping too, he would be one I wouldn't be surprised if didn't get up either. But Nick, Ken Lambert is a footballing god. He was fantastic again. He runs up and down the ground.
He is a grinding machine.
Yeah,
with his work rate.
He's just wonderful. I'm such a fan of Ken Lambert, and he's for a guy who's a rookie pick, he's classy. You know, he's one of those guys. He's got the Cochin Martin X factor.
Yeah. He's classy. He works both ways. He kicks goals. He wins his own football.
If he was two inches taller and you came down from Mars and you knew a lot about
football. And two inches taller and 5 inches. Because there's just a lot of guys, you know, 5'10", 5'11", not super big, not super quick. He just looks... You can see how it'd be easy to mistake him for a vanilla VFL footballer if you didn't have you could see like how much the intangibles matter for him.
Well, I was actually about to say the opposite. If he was 2 inches taller and you came down and just watched that game, you assumed he was a top 10 or top 5 draft pick.
Mm. Oh, yeah, true.
Because he's got it. He's got the, you know, you're right, he does grind, and he gets there because of his supreme work rate, but he, you know, he takes contested marks, he just does so many good things, and he's deadly in front of goals. Anyway, Nick, Lloyd, legend of Sammy Lloyd, 13 contested possessions.
Yeah, and playing, he spent a fair bit of time off half-back, which I haven't really noticed him doing before, and it was pretty solid, but yeah, I liked his game. I think Etihad suits him. I think the really flat out games at the MCG can be a bit of a problem. But no, I think it suits him. Someone who I think he could play an away game at Mars at the moment and he'd still be chock full of confidence is Josh Caddy.
Yeah, well, that was you know, 4 goals. That was everything we recruited him for. And now, right now, is on the bench. Tweeted this out. We only have 2 players on the All Australian team, the AFL rankings All Australian team. Obvious who they are. But the third one is Josh Caddy is an emergency. And, you know, what he does is rare and special. But yeah, he was just some beautiful and clutch football too.
Look, we, you know, in typical fashion, we've managed to, 20 minutes in and we haven't even got to sort of players who haven't played as well. But I thought Kendrick McIntosh was very much part of the coalition of the willing with defence, in his defence. But what did you think of Jack Higgins?
Just on McIntosh, 4 intercept disposals, which is a high number for him, and we were clearly using him differently. So that was noteworthy. I wonder whether that's a one-off Etihad State special or whether that'll be sustained. On Higgins, did one or two nice things, like he was a snap for goal in the last, which he missed, and so everyone forgot about it. But it was one of those, ooh, he's got something here, because it was so quick and it showed some reactions. So I can see the long-term potential. On the other hand, he's goal kicking now. He's got the yips so badly on his set shot kicking. You've got to start wondering about the utility of playing him. Cause I'm sure it's fixable, as you've said on and offline to me. But, it's one of those things that's cyclical. And I think he just needs to go down to the VFL, get lots of shots of goal and get confidence back in him.
Well, I think this isn't the first time this has been said about, Jack Higgins, and particularly in relation to his, schoolwork. I don't think the game has slowed down for him yet. Like his set shot routine seems very rushed. Because if you see him as a junior, he just looks like, you know, he's never going to miss. But I think, you know, just he's so amped up. He's just not going through his routine properly. And he's playing in the most competitive position in the team. Like, I think he's working really hard and covering ground. And, you know, by normal first-year player standards, he's a solid contributor. But, yeah, a lot of competition.
Yeah, and those, you know, just I don't want to overemphasize, but those set shots, they're not just missing by a little bit.
Yeah. But he's over... He's over 65% as shots on goal for as a junior. So yeah, he can certainly do it. It's just as you say, he just needs a bit of a reset.
And Nick, finally, I just have to mention another one of my man crushes, Jaden Short, who his contested ball work I thought was. I mean, he got 8 contested possessions, which is unusually high for him. But I think it's just. With the eye test, it's getting better and better every week, and his ability to win key contests keeps increasing, including one time when he bowled over Ben Brown in a key moment. I'm buying futures in Jaden Short.
I know. Look, the only thing that makes me sad about the Jaden Short experience is that he's deservedly stopping us from being able to recreate the Premiership 22.
Fair point. Is it just him?
Well, it's him and him, Conker, and Higgins.
Yeah, I don't really think we can blame it on Conker and Higgins, but yeah, point taken. Fairfall.
Yeah, had a smashing win. The ballad of Anthony Miles continues.
Yeah, it is just there. I'm not going to go on about this week. He played brilliantly. But I was going to say about that North game, if North had kicked either of those last 2 shots for goal that they had to get within a goal, I reckon the coaches, you know, that the coaches would have wished they had if you had the centre square to win the game, clearance to win the game, I reckon you want, of the three players on our list, one of them should be Anthony Miles.
So I checked and I was wondering, oh, so who are our best three contested positions? And, you know, if Dusty's having a dud game, it's kind of hard. There's not an obvious choice. Josh Caddy probably on the stats, but yeah, it's an issue. We are a pretty good centre clearance team. We are not as good a contested possession team, which are two different things. But yeah, it's worth watching. I'm fully expect Anthony Miles to be on the plane to Perth. Again, not sure if he gets into the 22, but yeah, he's doing nothing wrong. And he's kicking goals, which is sort of the one question of him, is how much he provides away from a contest. But yeah, good effort. And the BFL team just smashed them in the first quarter, and part of that was Corey Ellis back in midfield playing well, Ivan Soldo matching up against and the enormous... He doesn't often play against ruckmen who are noticeably bigger than him, but Braden Pruis, who's a 6'9" ex rugby league player, and yeah, a very big boy. But yeah, no, he's played well again. Connor Menadue is putting together a really solid month of football off halfback, like regularly having combined 10 rebound 50s and inside 50s, which is a really good sign.
It's good, Tyson Sting. But it's not. But the bar is so high for a team that's...
Yeah, I really think you know he's a reverse Sean Greig. I really think somebody should be chasing him because he's not better than any of the guys that we've got in the team. But yeah, he's... Our VFL team is better than anybody else's, and he's part of why.
It's a fair point.
Noah Bolter played at both ends of the ground. Had a good coach's corner on him on the website, and I think Justin Lippich put it nicely. He said, "You know, when he gets some footy now, he's going to be good." And yeah, that's a appropriate set of expectations for him. But I wanted to mention the debut of Charlie Thompson, who's almost a unicorn for our VFL team, in that he was expected to be drafted in November and wasn't, and you know has had to go to the VFL and try and get himself a second chance, and he's made his debut on the weekend and played really well as a inside midfielder.
Nice.
Hmm.
Could I tempt you? Yeah, I'm not sure you mentioned Liam Baker with his 23 disposal.
Oh, no, actually. Although it's only because I'm almost at the stage of taking him for granted how well he's playing.
And Tyson Stengel got a great write-up, 3 goals.
Hmm.
If you had a choice between, in a vacuum, who would you pick this week of Higgins, Baker, or Stengel?
I would think really hard about Stengel. I don't. My only question would be how well he gets up and down the ground, because if we're so getting my nerd on with the researching about the Eagles, one of the big things about their style of play at Subiaco when they were good was that Subiaco was an enormously long ground, and also simultaneously one of the narrowest grounds in football. So it's sort of...
Sounds a bit like Cadenia Park, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And so it suited them playing... they could play a really stifling sort of in a phone booth style game of football, whilst you would sort of running up and down, but lots of contests, and as long as they're confident in Stengel's running up and down the ground, like there's going to be a fair bit of contested football, and yeah, he's good at that. He is can work his way through a crowd nicely.
Yeah, all good arguments. I've just got this weird thing about Liam Baker, and he's a Western Australian.
And I know. Yeah, and that they are good at that actually. Yeah. Taking people over for their home grounds. The new Eagles ground isn't quite as long and isn't quite as narrow, but it's smaller than the MCG. It's probably closer to its MCG length, but Etihad width, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a different Eagles now that they're you know, the sort of the Prittis days are gone, and they're quicker through the midfield now, but perhaps more like us in some ways.
They are enormous in terms of key position players. I mentioned they've got up forward they'll regularly have Kennedy, Darling, who you mentioned in fantastic form. Scott, they play two ruckmen regularly, even last week when Nick Nat was injured. Jake Waterman is a tall fourth forward, which is another universe from us. And then down back, they are one of the better intercepting teams in the competition. Again, not as good as us, but McGovern, soon to be extremely wealthy, free agent, Shannon Hearn, Tom Burris, Elliot Yeo. They're good at both ends of the ground.
They are. I had a slightly soft draw.
Slightly soft draw.
But it's going to be
Made more so by the GWS and barely firing a shot on the weekend.
So we're very mild favourites. How are you feeling about the game?
Extremely mild, yeah. Yeah, and I think if Nankervis doesn't get up, there's speculation, I think that would probably might be enough to tip the balance.
So there was a lot. Nank almost didn't get up for the North game. There was pretty strong bail on that. So, you know, that doesn't mean he'll get up this week. But hopefully the speculation comes from his existing injury, which he has managed for one more game. So, unfortunately, Nick Nat's back. That would have been handy if his suspension had been for an extra week. So that's a bit on the downside. But yeah, I'm fascinated by this game. I'm finding it very hard to predict.
Yeah, so their midfield has long been workmanlike, but it's got a bit better. Jack Redden is having a much better second season than he did his first season. Andrew Gaff is going to be look disgruntled but extremely wealthy, running around in a St Kilda jersey next year. Yeah, and they've got a Rioli as well. He's of course a distant cousin of all the other Riolis. But yeah, they're certainly a better team than I expected. But yeah, they're playing well.
I'm looking forward to it.
How confident are you?
It's really weird to say, because the thing is, Nick, I don't have a strong emotional feeling yet, because I don't actually think this game is crucial to our premiership chances. But, you know, you could be wrong, because we forget, because we so rarely analyse this end of the ladder, but actually top two is vital.
Oh, absolutely. And when you're looking at, with GWS dropping from view, it's... you know, it is now, it's more feasible that there'll be another Victorian team in the top four, but yeah, I'd much rather take the uncertainty away, finish top four and know that, you know, if we win through, if we win our first game, we're not having to leave the comfort of the MCG for the entire finals.
Yeah, and by the way, percentage will be important.
Yeah, and we're extremely well set up with that, and playing St Kilda and Essendon in the next 2 weeks, so it's all there. But yeah, I have to admit, I'll be nervous as hell by the weekend. But unlike you, I'm a little bit if we need to manage the team this week and not kill ourselves to get a win, lose the battle but win the war at the end of the year, maybe that's not the worst thing.
Yeah, I must say, talking about percentage before a big game rather than just being terrified at the prospect of not only losing but being humiliated, I do really rather feel like these days I'm looking at the catalogues of the Maserati and the Ferrari and deciding which one I want best.
The Richmond midlife crisis. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talking.
Just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conjun. Left off snap.
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, three votes.